belated Valentine's Day, everybody. I'd say I brought this for example. And you ever wonder why they talk of heart in this shape or whatever, or, you know, come up with a heart shape, speaking of the heart or love?
Well, it kind of looks like it, doesn't it?
Well, yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. If, can I borrow your paper there, ma'am? These bottom chambers of heart on each side, when these valves open up, these top valves on the top open up and receive the blood, they look like a heart. And you ever heard people say, well, I love you from the bottom of my heart?
So it's the bottom part.
Well, it's the bottom part.
Is that the ventricles or
those are ventricles of
heart. Turn it around.
And I had my paper upside down, but you can kind of see it here.
Yeah.
Well, you know, and I'll see how that looks.
Yeah, it's a heart.
But it's a heart.
That's your paper.
It's big. About the size of your fist.
But anyway, let's look at the heart today.
Oh, good.
Back to Matthew chapter 13. And we're going to talk about, you know, last week we talked about second. Now we're going to talk about the third. And that's where the ox didn't leave the ones go to third. Before we get started.
Matthew what, 13?
Yes, ma'am. 13 and 22. But let me ask you this. You know, when a person gets born again, would you think Jesus give him a third year heart or a fourth year heart? Or I say either, I'm calling it either. Well, let's read. This is the third, Matthew 13, 22. He said, the seed sown among weeds represents the person who receives the message, but all of life's busy distraction, his divided heart, and his ambition for health results in suffocating the kingdom message and prevents him from being bearing spiritual fruit. But we see here that the word in this third chamber is suffocated, you know. Once it leaves lungs, it finally has oxygen in it, but it's suffocated there, you know. And Jesus didn't say nothing about the other two being suffocated, did he? Because they didn't have no oxygen in the blood there. But anyway, we see this as being suffocated. And but my question was, would Jesus give us this heart when we're born again? And the answer to that is no. No. We get a good heart.
Yes.
We get a number four heart.
Yes.
We start out with a good heart. But he says here, because this person's heart is divided, and you know, is, you know, money and wealth and just busy, you know, he bears no spiritual fruit. But I've seen in the medical world, I was looking at the heart, studying this valve that drops down or comes out of the top, third goes into fourth, is called a mitral valve. Everybody's heard of that. People might go about trouble, but this valve works both ways. It opens up and makes it shape that, but also it has to close. You know, this valve works both ways. It has closed, and if a person's heart does not close, or that valve does not close, that blood goes back up into his heart, up into this third part, or this third stage heart.
Yes.
And you get symptoms from it. And these symptoms are, you're out of breath, and you're tired. Out of breath and you're tired. Well, remember this story, this kind of parallels with Laodicean church, don't it? You know, they said, man, we got it all. We don't need nothing from the Lord. You know, and Lord begins dealing with them, talking to them, you know, telling them, turn around, let me more or less heal your heart and all, and make it right. But this simple little valve You know, and the spiritual, you kind of think about that too, that, that love of money, you know, Jesus said, you know, and the Bible teaches a lot about money.
Mm-hmm.
But it warns a lot about money too. Yeah. You know, it does both ways, and that's kind of like that vow. It's a two-way vow.
Yeah.
You know, it wants, you know, it releases to fill that bottom chamber that pumps out life into the body, but then again, it protects too, don't it?
Yeah.
So, we're going what? Yes, ma'am.
It also, because I had it before Jerry Savelle laid hands on me, completely healed of heart murmur, mitral valve. You also are very forgetful. It's painful. And it allows infection. Oh. You're more easily beset by infections if you have mitral valve. So even with dental cleaning your teeth, I would have to have antibiotics before they could even clean my teeth. So it's the same thing, those same spiritual things.
Wow.
Forgetfulness, pain, and infection, which is the world getting in.
Wow. And saying this too, and what you just said, I don't want us, you know, kind of think, you know, try to psychoanalyze anybody, you know, if anybody has this problem, say, well, it's, you know, from the spiritual. But because I read also on that, that medicines, certain medicines can cause that vow, and those medicines will be for migraines, you know, that migraine medicine, somehow or another, it affects that valve in that heart. And we know eventually as time wears on, you know, the millions of time that thing is open and closed, you know, it'll wear out.
Yes.
It'll wear out.
And stress too, high stress will cause the defect. High stress.
Amen. Well, Brother Thurston, come on.
But that covenant of healing, I was totally, completely healed.
Amen.
A mitral valve prolapse about 15 years ago in a healing line with Jesse Duplantis and Jerry Savelle. Totally gone.
And you know what I read on that thing too, that it can happen with age not being a barrier too. I mean, it can happen in younger people.
I always had it.
Oh, you had?
I had it when I was, sorry, Lord, I bind that word and cast it out in Jesus' name. It developed when I was young, very young, that I had heart murmur and all of those symptoms that you're talking about, I had them all. But when I got healed, thank God. Is when Satan tries to put symptoms on me, I said, Satan, symptoms are not sickness, and I rebuke you because I'm a tither and my fruit shall not drop.
Let me ask
before
you this.
Time. Yes.
Just for my curiosity.
Okay. Yes.
Did after that happened to you, that healing, did you seem to have a deeper walk with the Lord, or did you?
I started to because he sent someone, a couple from Word of Life that took me to Word of Life. They said, well, I could tell you were hungry, but you were clueless because I was in a Baptist church and weren't teaching me anything. So I went to Word of Life and I started learning, but God separated them out of my life, not because they were bad. He says, you're becoming too dependent on their faith. Their faith is getting you this and their faith is getting you that. And it's like if you carry a baby around all the time, their legs won't develop. So he pruned them out of my life, and then that's when my faith began to build because I had to walk it out on my own. It took a long time because I'm not the smartest person in the room, so, but I got there. Between Mary and Thurston and you, I got there. I got it.
Man,
God
is
moving by
the victory is yours.
I got it.
He's moving by his spirit.
Yes.
I say good things are ahead of us. And the Lord, he's about to return. We're going to see his return. I just can't see it any other way.
Did you see that gentleman, Sid Roth, that said that he saw the Lord returning and the Lord was telling him that you're going to see me before you die, return? So he said, Sid Roth.
But he said the generation that saw Israel come back, which was in the 40s, this generation is the ones that's going to see him return.
I believe that Jerusalem had to be recognized, though.
Yeah.
And I think that that's a sealed deal now.
Yes.
God is moving. What I know about the Lord, he thinks of everything.
Oh,
everything.
Yeah.
And he'll supply you. And once he gets you where he wants you, he'll give you something to do. And this, I know I talk about following God a lot. This is a key time to do whatever he put on your heart. Because it's going to be good. People are going to live because of it. It can be as small as just praying for somebody, and he may put on your heart to write a book. Do it. Whatever he say do, do it. Because God is, he can do things. He gave me two books to write. I'm kind of glad he didn't give me one lately. I hope I can retire before I write another. But whatever he give me to do, do. The Lord wants us to know him. We're not alone. He's with us. He said, what you bind on earth is bound in heaven. What you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. And the Lord is looking for people that will break through. And whatever he give you to do, you got to break through. Because his word is holy and precious. It's powerful. And you can't just put... The word helps us to... Looking unto the Lord, Jesus said, if your eye be single, your whole body will be full of light. As we look to him, we don't look to our strength. You can't... If you're looking at him, you're not looking at within. You're not looking at others. You're looking at him. And he has a way of getting his word, he does things wisely and systematically. I noticed that he builds you up so that you'll stand and you'll be secure to him. Because once he trusts you with an assignment, he trusted you with an assignment, you're going to be rewarded for carrying it out. But you don't want to go back to sin after you handle the holy things of God. That's not good. Benny Hinn said he was going to pray for somebody that had done that. And he said, if I call his name, you'll know it. But I can just imagine who it may be or whatever. But he didn't reveal it, so I don't worry about it. But he was about to lay hands on the guy, and the Lord said, stop. Don't do it. Because he sinned while he had the anointing on his life. He wouldn't let him pray for him. Now, I didn't know all the ins and outs of that, but I've heard it again. Another guy was anointed and he sinned, and the Lord wouldn't pour his anointing on him again.
Ed Dufresne said the same thing. He was praying for a couple's baby, and the Lord said, no, that couple broke up a church, and this is the the payment for what they did. He says, don't lay hands. Don't pray. Because this is because they broke up a church.
Yeah. You know, sin is a serious thing. Sowing and reaping. You can't stop sowing and reaping. It's going to happen. And it can't be stopped. God can't stop it. Jesus said, whatever a man sow, that will he also reap.
Stepping on my toes already.
And he loves us, though.
You getting coffee?
I'm going to borrow a cup of coffee.
That might be a donut.
That's totally against my doctor.
Okay.
So is.
Thank you.
I'm one of the people that are blessed with high cholesterol naturally. So I can't eat that.
I'm blessed with high good cholesterol, so I can eat them. I got way high good cholesterol.
Sowing is a law. God recognizes that law. If you break it, if you do something against the course of that interfere with his people, something's going to happen. Perry Song said that when people break off from a church and start another one,
he said they never get over 250 members. Because when the same thing that happened against Moses, when the sons of Korah, they went against Moses, and they broke off, I think it was 250 people. He said they never, and I never thought about that, but people who cause church splits, they may start another church, but they don't get big, because you cannot do something the wrong way and then God bless it. That doesn't mean that he can't save them and he won't love them and help them get corrected, but some things you just don't do.
You read what you sow.
You got to. We all do. And so he taught me about sowing and reaping one day. He took 3 days and he taught me about, he called it spiritual wealth and spiritual debt. And he explained the ins and outs of sowing and reaping. But the first thing he showed me all at once, when we do something in the name of the Lord, heaven begins to move with us. It not only serves the purpose that God needs, but it also leaves a legacy for your children. Mm-hmm. If you follow God, and if you start obeying God and loving Him and relaying His love, that blessing will get on your children.
Yes, yes, Lord.
If you do rotten things, you're leaving hurdles for your children to jump.
Big ones.
Yeah. If you, whatever they see you do, that it speaks volumes. Whatever, good or bad. But what we do, you'll see it.
That was 250 leaders, of course.
Yeah.
They estimate everything, you know, it was probably around 100,000 that was all together.
They do a lot of damage.
And they all were gathered in one place, all of them. Mm-hmm. And the ground opened up.
It swallowed.
Then closed back.
Mm-hmm. Sowing and reaping. Sowing and reaping is serious.
You've got to have the fear of the Lord.
Yeah, you have to. And James talked about, you know, we got to give an account for what we teach. So I said, you know, I saw preachers preach opposite things. And one of them got to be wrong. In most cases, sometimes if both of them are preaching partial truth, they can be right from their point of view. And also, but most of the time when that happens, it's incomplete information.
And it's all it is, just a point of view. There's no power or authority or nothing with it.
Yeah. But when people, and I knew that this could happen. Whenever I see somebody else do something, I know it can happen to me. I've seen people that were smarter, made better grades, made better choices, but they get on drugs. Oh, yes. I said, if drugs do that to them, it'll do that to me.
Yes.
So when I see people do things that, you know, they teach with conviction and they happen to be wrong, I said, Lord, I can do that. I don't want to do that. I said, how can I don't know what I'm doing. How can I minister your word and not make those kind of mistakes? He said, follow me. I let God sanction all the revelation that he did.
Amen.
Somebody did a thing, doctrine versus revelation. I think it was Pastor Langford. He may have worded it a little bit different. But if doctrine is in my heart, then I'll preach doctrine.
Yes.
But if I go in the Lord's presence and receive a message, that message is going to fit your life.
Yes.
Today. It's going to help you heal. It's going to help you master whatever problem you may have. And I'm in the strategy of God. I'm in the wisdom of God. I yield it to the Lord, and I can. That's the power of following Him.
Yes.
But I've seen so many people do that. They'll preach the doctrine they love, their pet doctrine. They preach it, and it's limited, and hopefully it's true. But if I preach something that I want to preach and you need something else, I'm in God's way. But if I yield to the Lord and minister what he put on my heart, then everybody's, you know, it's just like the difference between speaking in tongues and prophesying. Paul made that clear. When you prophesy, you minister to a man's need now, and he'll rejoice and worship God. But if everybody's praying in tongues, he don't think everybody's crazy. Mm-hmm. So following God is the way we do it. When we follow Him, He'll put everything in order. He'll strengthen you so that you can go forward in Him. And the easiest way to do it is to love Him. Just love God and do what He say to do. Love Him and study the Word with the intent to relay His love. Whatever needs you have, whatever's been aggravating you, as you receive the Word, your heart will be strong and fortified in Him. And you'll see what to do. The knowledge of how to handle the problem will come to you. There was a guy who finished college. He got a job. He went through 9 jobs within a year. And then his friend said, man, start studying the Proverbs. He already had the education. And he started reading the Proverbs every day. Every day he'd read a proverb. I can't remember if he read a chapter or the whole book, but he did this as a lifestyle. In a short amount of time, he started his own business and became a multimillionaire. And so when I see problems arise and I read the proverb, I say, hey, I should have been reading that. So I decided I'm going to go back. I'm going to listen to the Proverbs every day. And because I want to tweak some things. When we receive His Word, we live from the Word. If the Word's in your heart, it'll bulldoze out the things that shouldn't be.
That's good.
And if you, things you don't need, when you see the Word, you'll see what to do. You'll see how to make corrections. Mm-hmm. And I know that the Lord keeps telling me He's about to return. And this sounds like He's about to return any moment. And I said, Lord, this is how He put it. He said, many people are about to be thrust into eternity. That's how He worded it, thrust into eternity. Now, we know that when the 6th trumpet blow, the World War III starts, and a third of the people on the planet will be dead, thrust into eternity. We know that when the rapture happens, those that are left are thrust into eternity. Because those, the lukewarm church, He's going to give them strong delusion and they'll believe a lie. It's going to be a lie. It's not going to be like it is now. But those who he take with Him are thrust into eternity. And the Lord wants His people with Him. I say, what can I do? What can I change? And I think like that. I pray and I ask Him to use everything that I do, the radio broadcast, the website, the Sunday school, people that I meet, help me say what people need.
Your family?
Yeah, and I pray for people according to the wisdom of God, because He told me once, He said, back in 2012, He said, something's happening in the spirit. Some of you may remember when I talked about that, years ago, mm-hmm. when Brother Horton was here. And I started praying for all of His people, and I made a distinction. Those that follow Him and those that don't. He stopped me. He said, only pray for those who follow me. And this is why. The babes are people He can work with. If you pray for people, God, He's going to honor your faith. He's going to do something. But He wanted hit people who follow Him He's moving them to the forefront, just like He said. He's going to pour the oil of anointing on people who love and follow Him. They may not even be in ministry yet. They may not ever be called to the fivefold, but God is not limited. We are all washed in the blood. Yes. And we can do assignments. And He can cause you to be anything you need to be. Remember the scripture said there was no prophet greater than John the Baptist, not even Elijah, not even Moses. No prophet greater than John the Baptist. But then it said, the least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. Mm-hmm. We're washed in the blood.
Well, they didn't have God inside of them.
And we have the Holy Spirit within and upon, just like they did. They had the Holy Spirit upon them. The Holy Spirit will come upon David. The Holy Spirit came on Elisha in double portion. Mm-hmm. We have the Holy Spirit within. We have the Holy Spirit upon us. and we can be filled with the Holy Spirit at our will. So when you look to him, he'll prepare you for what you need the most. All we have to do is receive and cooperate with him. Just yield to him and receive all that he'll give you, all the knowledge, the wisdom, the understanding. He may wake you up and talk to you, and then go do what he said to do. Because if he tells you to do anything, you have an anointing to do it. If you begin, heaven's going to start doing things. We don't see the demons that's attacking us unless the Lord opens our eyes and calls us to see. He's done that a few times. I saw my enemy. And the Lord showed it to me and why things were like they were. And also, but the activity of heaven, and as you operate in faith, the activity of heaven is busy. Your acts of faith and love, the angels start moving, clearing your path. Whatever you lack, God's got it. He's got a way to give it to you. That's why if he ever put it on your heart to pray in the Holy Spirit, it's so that heaven can act on somebody else's behalf. I was at a church and the church split. And we kept drawing near to the Lord, and the Holy Spirit was just moving. Six of us were ministers, and we take turns ministering the word. And so whenever I just kept drawing near to the Lord, and I listened to Kenneth Hagin, and I preached what God gave me. Eventually, Pastor Lewis came, because he released the women. He told the women that, our church didn't believe in women preachers. And he was bold. He just said, the Lord showed him that women could preach. And he released the women, and five women went up that were called to preach, and they were good preachers. So he broke through in that area. Eventually, some things happened, and Bishop Bonham, he split. But we started meeting at a friend of ours' house, and one of the ministers. The problem, Elder Lewis was a teaching minister, but in holding his churches, that was a teaching that was error. Now, he was a good teacher otherwise, but he taught bondage. He taught, that's just what he did. I didn't know what it was until the Lord revealed it. He would say things like, God give you problems to make you grow. And that, I had to break through that. I said, Lord, do you give people problems to make them grow? He said, problems come from Satan. That's where they originate, Satan's mind. Lack of knowledge and other people's lack of knowledge.
Mm-hmm. That's where all self, your own stupidity.
Yeah. If you don't know, what can you do if you don't know? How can you have faith if you don't have knowledge?
Can't.
And you got to believe, you got to hear what God had to say. And the Word of God sets you free. Mm-hmm. Well, everybody was growing, and then when he came, he started teaching the old way. Mm-hmm. And when I would preach what God gave me. And everybody else who preached would rebut what I was saying. This went on for months. Mm-hmm. But I didn't get mad.
No.
Because you have to look at God's people.
And you didn't yield?
No, I just kept doing what God gave me. I was learning. Mm-hmm. Sometimes a situation is a situation you can learn from, and you can
Amen.
Learn in it.
Amen.
Because the Lord is with you. And I felt it. I felt the rebuttal. I said, what's going on, Lord? I didn't know what was going on. But I didn't preach, I didn't minister to them as if they were just parishioners. I ministered to them as if they were bishops, as if they were pastors of churches, because that's where we were headed. I said, in a few years, God's going to give them assignments, and some of them are going to be pastors or pastors' wives or whatever. And I ministered to them. That was my strategy, and I got it from the Lord. Nevertheless, I would minister the word, and then they rebutted. And it come back to my turn, I minister the word, and then they rebutted. This went on. And I remember one time, Steve, he preached the word And the Lord gave him a message identical to what he had given me. And I sat back on the couch and I said, I'm gonna enjoy this. Mm-hmm. And time he gave the subject, I said, that's what I'm gonna sit back, I just enjoy this. And then he went in meaning 180 degrees in opposition against what he had, the topic that God gave him. God gave him the message, but he went 180 degrees in opposition to it. And immediately I saw the outline of a man on it. I sat up on the couch because it shocked me. Mm-hmm. I saw that spirit. And I knew what it was. It was a spirit of bondage. And after that, I was focused on the Lord at that point. I said, Lord, what is this? What does bondage do? He said, bondage fights freedom. Mm-hmm. And I said, where did it come from? And then the Lord